C1F. Chapter 8. Footsteps of Truth. The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook. Our Way of Life. Number 1A.
We come this weekend to the chapter on Footsteps of Truth. And I will do everything to finish it this weekend. I feel I must stop with these talks, and so it is rather a farewell party this weekend, because I don't think I will resume these talks for quite a while. But when one comes to such a point, I think it is right to look back from where one has come, so as to see where one is. And if one sees where one is now, one has somehow a chance to see to where one is going. When we look back, I think those years during the war, when John Dorley was finding out the fundamentals of the science of being, he laid the foundation of all what we were doing up to now. His main job there at that time was really to find the tools as exact as possible, the 7 and the 4, and indicating the 4 levels. And then with those tools, he began to open the Bible in those few years after the war, 1947, 1948, 1949, to open the Bible and show that these fundamental facts of being, which he had found, were living facts of being, that they were infinitely flexible, infinitely adaptable, and infinitely adapted for reflection, so that each idea could infinitely reflect each other idea, and therefore in this way introduce that being is really a calculus of ideas, and not just an abstraction, but showing that that calculus of idea has always existed in the realm of being and has been symbolized in the Bible as a very living, practical way of life. Then, when he had left us, we began to investigate the textbook in the same way as he has done the Bible, and finding that the textbook too is not just a big summary of philosophical or metaphysical aphorisms, but that the textbook itself contained the wonder of wonders, namely the most practical way how we can get hold of the infinite, and how, in the way as we get hold of the infinite, that infinite is using us. So that the textbook began to become a book of life, and that Christian Science was a way of life, and not just a method of metaphysical healing. That really the textbook is going to open up something tremendous, or two things tremendous. One is that the textbook is giving us the fundamentals of eternal being, and shows what these fundamentals are, what the fundamental factors in being are. And second, how we can get hold of them so that they become us. In other words, it shows how each one of us can be integrated into the infinite without losing his individuality, but just the contrary, so as to gain the divine individuality. The textbook therefore answers a question which religion for a long time has been seeking and seeking, namely how to approach God, and then how this God comes to mankind and heal, redeem, help, save mankind. It's the ascending way, so to say, of human thought to the divine, and the descending power of the divine as the human. And Footsteps of Truth, as we'll see this weekend, is pinpointing this very problem, because Footsteps of Truth shows the humanity of divinity and the divinity of humanity. So, there was an interesting period in John Dolly's teaching work to which he refers again and again. He always said that the moment he began to investigate the prophets, the whole picture changed. Perhaps you remember how he always used to refer back to that, especially to Isaiah, because it was at that point that he touched the Christ idea, namely the idea that being works by itself, that being itself has an idea, and that no matter how much resistance we put against that idea is going to work itself through, how you say, nilly-willy or willy-nilly? One of both, either. Huh? Yeah. And something similar has happened. I really only noticed it today when I was thinking about the whole subject. But really, when we came in our investigation, in our talks on the textbook, to the Christ chapters, especially to science, theology, and medicine, that something happened. That it is as if heaven was broken up and the flood tides of divinity were just streaming down. It is when we look back to when we started about 2 years ago with that chapter, Science, Theology and Medicine, how that law of life, truth and love, of which he speaks right in the first sentence of that chapter, how that law of life, truth and love began to operate and operate, and how it opened up that chapter as one has perhaps never felt it before, and how that somehow has impelled us to what seems to have a digression by taking the four levels of science into consideration. It was at the same point where the Christ broke in John Dolly's thought that he began to teach the four levels. If you read in those verbatim reports where he begins with Micah, Isaiah, with the prophets, in between he always speaks about the ascending and the descending sense through the four levels of science. And today, as I was thinking about this, I thought, by golly, the same thing somehow has happened to us. That the moment we had touched the Christ chapter, we just couldn't help feeling that unless we see the four levels of science in its descending way, something would be lacking. And I hope that this sense of the four levels of science is going to make an impress, an impact on our thoughts forever. This impact of the law of life, truth and love is perhaps that which keeps me back from going on with the chapters. I just can't go on. Even if I would go on with the next, I couldn't. And you know perfectly well that I know what is in that chapter, that 15 years ago I wrote a book, the Christian Science textbook, the structure of the Christian Science textbook, and that I know what is in that chapter. But somehow I feel that before I'm ready for that chapter and to see it in its absolutely new light, something is waiting for us round the corner. I feel it and I know it, and therefore I'm certain that I'm right that I stop, and that it will be a blessing for all of us to stop with the 8th chapter. It will be a blessing because something is moving. We couldn't spend together a whole winter considering that not our thinking is doing something, but that the idea of life, truth and love is working. And is working as we have considered it, not as our thinking, but as a universal idea. And I mean a universal idea. And if it's universal, it is to be seen in the whole universe, and not in a little sect as we may be. If we are not spreading out our thought to boundless measures, to boundless realms, the Christ idea is bigger than for a few Christian scientists to hold it in their consciousness. The Christ idea is as big as the infinite. And the Christ idea is not limited to manifest itself to those people who call themselves Christian scientists. It is as big that it touches everything and everyone. And that is round the corner. I can't see it yet in its definite outlines, but because I feel it, what's coming, I have to be honest to myself and step back. For the last few years, I have been giving in Zurich at the School of Metaphysics 6 classes each week, all during the winter. In addition to that, numberless talks, open talks, public talks. I have come here for 5 or 6 times a year. I have a summer school in Switzerland, in America. I'm going to America. Afterwards, I will have a very big summer school in Switzerland, because I feel that the German-speaking people have the right to know about the levels of science as you have heard it, but that will be the end for a while for me. I decided not to give any more classes for an indefinite time, and it will be a blessing for me, for you, and for the universe. So let's accept the situation as it is and see that a seed has been sown, and that if we can culture and mother that seed, that something tremendous is going to open up to us, to all. We are approaching the 7,000 year, and the signs of the times are here, that the complete mutation of consciousness is trying to take place. Can we see the signs of the time, or can't we? If we can see the signs of the time, then we can nurture and help the birth, and not to be disturbed about what happens. But we can't do that if we don't have those wonderful long winter nights all for ourselves. And if we have missed them a little bit, and I have missed them quite a bit last winter, I want to, I want to compensate, make up for it, catch up on it, and want to sit still. Very still. So, let's see if we put all material conception away. All. All means all. And let therefore only one thing have room in consciousness, namely the eternal operation of life, truth, and love. Then this newness of life, the complete spontaneity of life, will lead us somewhere where we have not thought that it would lead us. And the divine law of truth, that truth which knows itself, that truth which is conscious of itself, and is conscious of itself as a whole, and already knows what it knows. That law of truth is revealing to each one of us what truth wants to reveal for this adapted situation, because it is a law of love, always adapted to where we are. And so we will all be integrated in our revelations to the one plan that is lying ahead. You know how I have voiced during the recent talks quite often that we have to be clear that the new idea is not just an embellishment of the old concept. But if something is new, it is completely new, unexpected new. And the question is, are we big enough to accept it? Are we big enough to let behind the old landmarks, the old concept of how the idea should unfold? Are we ready to accept that something completely different from what we have thought would be the ideal development of the idea? If we can drop that human ideal and are just blank in one's consciousness, so that God can write on a clean new page the new message. So I feel we will do a big job if for the next month or year or years we will see that we can give birth to a new idea if we detach mortal thought from all material conceptions, all, and just wonder what divine love has in store for us. Yes, that's where we are today. And what's coming seems to be in the line what the next chapter on creation would show us, namely that it starts with the eternal truth is changing the universe. The next chapters, the Christianity chapters, will all have their accent on the idea that the idea is universal, not sectarian, not limited, that the idea is that which is carry on the centuries. When we look back on the last few chapters, on especially on the Christ chapters, we could see that the main accent was on showing over and over and over that matter is a mental concept and that divine mind is the solution to that mental concept. But the Christianity chapters will go further than that and not just show that matter is a mental concept, but will show that which the age of today will have to learn and which is round the corner, namely that being is of the nature of idea, not of ideas which we conceive, but of the nature of idea which the divine mind conceives. Which means that from the chapter creation onward, we are asked to do something very big. Namely, that which we have touched somehow with the levels of science, that we are no more going out from right thinking. That is finished. That now we begin to see that being is impelled by the synonymous terms, and that these synonymous terms are changing the universe eternally, and that the universe of ideas is the only universe which exists. And so, the whole world today, no matter if they know it or don't know it, and mostly they don't know it, but they do it, they are converging towards a science of ideas, away from the science of matter and away from the sciences of the human mind, away further, much further, to the science of ideas. And ideas, in our terminology, are not thoughts which we have about the divine. Ideas is that which the divine mind conceives of itself, and therefore has also the impelling power to manifest itself the way the divine mind plans the universe. And the human mind has just to give way to that. Well, this is, I think, what is round the corner. Ideas are universal. They come to everybody, to every seeker, to every spiritually minded man and woman, no matter to which denomination they outwardly belong. It comes to the seeker, to the pure in heart. And those ideas are working changes. And these are the ideas of truth, and eternal truth is changing the universe. We are much too much used to go on in the same evolution as we can overlook in our life. In our life we can overlook perhaps the last 100 years or so. We have some knowledge of how our grandfathers and fathers lived in the second part of last century. We know something about the first steam engines, about the first railway trains and so on, the first electricity, use of electricity and so on, then the combustion engine, then the motorization of everything, then the automation of everything, and we have been used to think in a way of technology, of constantly improving technology. That comes to an end as the leading idea. Technology will go on and on and on, there will be rocketry and so on, but that will be secondary. What the world is feeling is something very different, a change of standpoint, a change of consciousness. What the world is feeling is not that we can in 50 years go to the moon and have our holiday there and have a little trip to Jupiter and so on. This is just on the sideway. What's moving is a mutation in consciousness. A mutation in consciousness which is called that we drop the mental stage and accept the ideational stage. That stage where we are going out from mind, capitalized, and not from mind with a small m. And that is the change that is coming. And this change is very much indicated in the chapter we are considering today or this weekend, in the chapter on Footsteps of Truth. It is as if this chapter would help us somehow to make the step of transplanting, so to say, our standpoint from the human mind standpoint to the divine mind standpoint. And if we can achieve that transplantation, then we have really achieved something. And so let's consider this chapter, Footsteps of Truth, as those footsteps which lead us to the standpoint of truth. The footsteps of truth that are shown here are footsteps of truth. They are not human footsteps which we take towards truth or with truth. They are truth's own footsteps.